Shalom, welcome to Ash JTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Chasdai, Pesach Ben Dov, Meir Ben Yecheskel, and Yosef Ben Meir. Before we get to our many questions from our great JTFers, the so-called election for president of Iran that took place is a very ominous development. This really increases the danger of a nuclear holocaust, God forbid. Because Hassan Rouhani is now being portrayed by the evil news media and even by the self-hating Israeli news media as a moderate. And we're being told that this could signal a change in Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. In reality, this is just a clever scheme by the Iranian Muslim Nazi terrorist regime. They're putting into power a mouthpiece who is going to claim that he wants better relations with Western countries. And while he makes this claim, and while they engage in so-called negotiations, Iran continues to develop its nuclear bomb-making program and races toward the building of nuclear bombs. First of all, let's understand something about Hassan Rouhani himself. Hassan Rouhani has always supported Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. Hassan Rouhani wants Iran to have nuclear bombs as much as Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, as much as all the evil leaders of Muslim Nazi Iran. He wants Iran to complete and develop nuclear bombs. Secondly, Hassan Rouhani openly said in 2004 that negotiations with the West are solely designed to ease sanctions and to prevent a military attack while Iran continues to build its nuclear program. He said during the time when we've had these negotiations and when we've been saying that we want to improve relations with the West, throughout this time, we kept moving forward and progressing on our plan to build nuclear bombs. This is what he openly said in the interview in 2004. In other words, he is openly saying that everything that he does and everything that the Muslims are doing are just another form of taqiyya. Taqiyya is deception in Arabic. This is what Muhammad, the founder of Islam, commanded the Muslims to do. He commanded them to engage in taqiyya. He commanded them to deceive the non-Muslim infidels, to trick the non-Muslim infidels until the Muslims are strong enough to destroy them, or as part of a plan to destroy them. And Hassan Rouhani openly said in the interview in 2004 that this is what they're doing. Hassan Rouhani openly calls for the destruction of Israel. He doesn't even use the term Israel. He calls it the Zionist entity and calls it Satan. He refers to Israel as Satan and believes that America is Satan and wants to destroy America as well. So all this talk about him being a moderate is the same type of talk that we heard from the news media telling us that Adolf Hitler was a moderate. Because there were people who were telling us when Hitler became the Chancellor of Germany in 1933, like the New York Nazi Times were telling us in effect that Hitler was a moderate. In effect, that's what they were saying. They were saying he's not a dictator, that he's just trying to restore Germany's national pride and honor. They had numerous articles praising Herr Hitler, they called him, Herr Hitler. In the articles, they used the word Herr Hitler in the New York Nazi Times articles. So we're getting the same type of propaganda line that we got about Hitler, about Stalin, about Yasser Arafat. We've seen this over and over again play out. This is a scheme to fool people. Iran is racing toward developing those nuclear bombs. Everything they do is a maneuver, a trick, a tactic to enable them to do it, to prevent a military attack, and also to try to ease the sanctions as much as possible. That is their objective. And that's why they put this guy in. This guy has worked with them from day one. He was involved with Ayatollah Khomeini and with all of the most vicious mass murderers in Iran from day one. But when he goes to the West, he smiles and he says, we want to negotiate. There is an urgent need to bring this truth to Americans, Westerners, and especially to Israeli Jews, because Israel is the country that in the end must attack and destroy Iran's nuclear bomb-making program if it is to be prevented. So especially Israeli Jews have to hear this message. We've got to keep the pressure up on that weak, pathetic, cowardly Netanyahu government. Even though Netanyahu himself has said that this election doesn't really change anything, and his defense minister, Moshe Ya'alon, has said that this election doesn't change anything, that the Iranian government is still committed to building nuclear bombs. They've said that. But knowing how cowardly and how weak they are, this is just another obstacle now and another problem for them in terms of attacking Iran. For us, it wouldn't be a problem. We don't care what anybody says. When Jews are in danger and Israel's in trouble, we wouldn't care what anybody says. If Chaim Ben Pesach was prime minister, the Air Force would go out and take care of this, and we wouldn't care what anybody says. But the lying Israeli news media is trying to trick the people of Israel. They're calling this Muslim Nazi a moderate. Our movement already did a video last night, which we have on the English forum. We gave you a link to it on the English forum as well. It's in the sticky threads on the English forum. We already did a Hebrew video exposing this and telling the truth about this, and we're going to do, God willing, follow-up videos. It is essential that we bring the truth to the people of Israel. I already see, by the way, people that are debating this on various sites on the internet use Hayamin Hamiti, the arguments of Hayamin Hamiti, use our site in Hayamin Hamiti as a basis for their arguments that this guy is a liar and that this is all a hoax. The people that recognize that, and a lot of Israeli Jews do believe that this is a hoax. By the way, they interviewed Iranian Jews living in Israel, Jews that left Iran that now live in Israel, Jews of Persian descent. They interviewed them, and almost every one of them said this is a complete hoax. And you have to be a fool to trust anything that the Iranian regime does. But still, the Israeli news media and the traitor so-called president, who unfortunately is 90 years old, Shimon Persky, Bezrat Hashem, he shouldn't live another moment. And all the other traitors in Israel, they are working overtime now to convince the people of Israel that this shows that we now have peace with Muslim terrorist Iran, and that we're on the road to peace and moderation and everything is wonderful. It's very important that we alert the people of Israel to this danger. Very, very important. This could mean the difference between life and death for many, many Israeli Jews, God forbid. It could also mean the difference between life and death for many Americans, God forbid. Because the United States, the Iranians have repeatedly said that the United States would also be a target. They made speeches saying, they calling for the destruction of the United States, saying death to America, promising to murder millions of Americans. This is, the United States is also a target. Millions of American lives are also on the line here. This is a grave threat to both Israel and America. It is the number one threat. The number one threat to the survival of Israel and America right now in terms of national security issues, in terms of a national security threat, an immediate physical threat, the number one threat is Iran's nuclear bomb-making program for both America and for Israel. But the only good thing I see out of this is, again, I was encouraged to see that on several sites where I see people debating this on the internet, they bring up our arguments and bring up what we have to say. Because we have done so many videos on this subject. Just like we've done so many videos on Barack Hussein Obama in Hebrew. That we're considered to be the authoritative source for those who say that Israel must strike immediately. We're the uncompromising voice that says, you don't risk the lives of millions of Jews. To hell with all the other considerations. Bomb Iran's nuclear bomb-making program now. When there's a risk of a nuclear holocaust, there is no question about what has to be done. Israel has the military capability to destroy enough of that program to set it back several years, and Israel must do that. It would cost the Iranians tens of billions of dollars in unbelievably difficult efforts considering sanctions and everything else, to have to rebuild if Israel did bomb their program. It would be very tough for them to start rebuilding that program. And so this would be the best and the only real solution to really setting back that program. People in Israel, many people in Israel have seen our videos over the years and are familiar with our argument on that. And so that's why we become like the address, like the voice for those who say that Israel should strike right now. There are Israeli leaders and others who hint that they think Israel should strike now and seem to be in favor of it. But the only people who come out outright and say, yes, send the planes out, warm up those jets and strike now. Do not wait any longer. We're in grave danger here. The sooner you strike, the better. The only voice that really says that uncompromisingly in video after video after video is Hayamin Hamiti, our movement, and therefore, you know, we have a reputation. And so, it's very important that we be part of this debate and that we reach as many people as possible with the truth. If you agree that this is an issue of survival and that we have to reach as many Israeli Jews as possible with the truth and do the best we can. We can't be silent. I don't know if we're going to be able, you know. I mean, are we going to be able to persuade the Israeli government to attack Iran? That would be quite a tall order for us. But we have to try. Even if the odds are slim and even if it's an uphill battle and, you know, first of all, I do think many in the Israeli government believe that Israel should do that. I do believe many in the Israeli government would like to see Israel attack Iran. So we basically just want to be another force pushing them in that direction, pressuring them and pushing them in that direction. How much influence we'll have in the end, I don't know. I have no idea. I'm not a prophet. I can't tell you how much influence we'll have, but I do know for sure we're not allowed to be silent and we have to do everything we can when there's a danger to Jewish survival and Israel's survival like this. We have to do everything we can. And once again, I do believe this is a danger to America and America's survival as well. And so, if you agree that this is an issue where we need to get the truth out, where we need to alert people, where we need to bring the facts before the people, I know you've heard me speak about this subject a zillion times, and you may hear me speak about it a zillion times more because it's so important, so much is at stake. If you agree that we must reach people with this message, with the facts, with the truth, and expose the truth, and we cannot be silent, if you agree with that, and that we have to try the best we can to convince the governments of Israel and the United States to do the only sane thing, if you agree that we are obligated not to be silent and to try our best to influence things, then I ask you again, help us. Help us when you see us put up Hebrew and English videos. When you see me put up videos on the sticky thread section of the general discussion section of our forum, of our English forum. Go to those videos. Promote those videos on YouTube and Facebook. Like, favorite, comment, mirror, and share the videos. It doesn't take that long. Help us. Help us get the word out. This is very important. Even if it's a video in Hebrew and you don't understand Hebrew, you nevertheless can help us with the Hebrew search engines. When you like, favorite, comment, mirror, when you do these things, share videos, when you do these things, you help us nevertheless with the search engines. You help us with the Facebook search engine, the Google search engine, and the YouTube search engines. They all have very powerful search engines. And the majority of Israeli Jews, like the majority of Americans, go to YouTube and Facebook and Google. Use all three of them. Majority of people in the United States and Israel use all three of them. So, it's important. And we can reach more people. We need your help. Help us with this. Also help us on our forums. We have, and our five Facebook pages. We have five Facebook pages, three in Hebrew. Three in English, two in Hebrew. We have five Facebook pages. Help us with the Facebook pages. Help us with the forums. Like and write interesting things on the Facebook pages and on the forums. Write interesting things so we make our movement an inviting place so it could be bigger and stronger and we could do more to reach people at this critical time. And last but not least, of course, our number one problem has always been financial. The fact that we have such a meager budget is the number one obstacle. If we could reach everybody, we'd be a mass movement. If we could reach everybody with our message on a regular basis, there's no question we'd be a mass movement. There's no question we wouldn't be in this situation. If we were a mass movement, that Iranian nuclear terrorist program would have been destroyed already. And so we need your help to do the best we can, because every check, every money order, every cash donation sent to our post office box does make a difference. It helps us. It makes a difference. It helps. So please, we need your help. God bless the wonderful JTFers who on a regular basis generously send checks, money orders, cash donations through the regular mail to our post office box. God bless you. God bless you. God bless your families in this world and in the next. You're showing that you will not be silent. You're showing that you want to be part of a group that at least you know with us, at least you know with us, we're going to try the very best we can. We're going to do everything we can. And we're not going to compromise. At least with us, you know that. And, of course, other people prefer to help online with their credit cards by going to the donate button on the JTF.org main page. That's also something which is helpful. God bless you. God bless the great JTFers that do that. So we're in this battle. I devoted this opening to this subject because it's so important. And I know we've spoken about it many times before, but this is a subject that really is of the utmost importance to our survival. And if we don't deal with this, then what's the point of our being a movement that's trying to save Israel and America and trying to save people's lives? What's the point if we don't deal with it with a crisis like this? There are many people in Israel that do recognize that this is a hoax, that the Iranians are pulling a hoax. Many people in Israel are very worried about what's happening with Iran. And there are people in the Israeli government that are worried about it. You saw Netanyahu, I don't know if you've seen it, but he issued a statement. You can probably find it on the internet. And other Israeli leaders saying, hey, let's be careful here. That's the statement they've issued. I think the statement should have been much stronger, but that's a statement they issued. So you see that they are also worried about this. So we have a chance here to push them to do the right thing. We've got to try our best. I don't know if they're going to do the right thing. I don't know what's going to happen. I am very concerned because I know how cowardly the Israeli government is. So I'm very concerned, but we've got to push them and try the best we can. And I think all of us in JTF agree on that. All right. Let's go now to the questions from our great JTFers. And by the way, one other thing that I should mention, which I always should mention, another thing people should do is pray for us. We need your prayers. Pray for us. Prayers do help. That's one thing that always helps. Okay, let's start off with our questions, and we start off with our friend Joe Gutfeld, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, what do you think of the Trayvon Martin murder trial? I think that if George Zimmerman gets off, there will be riots all over, unquote. Well, of course, I think George Zimmerman should get off. I don't think he should ever have been charged. I think Trayvon Martin provoked this situation. He physically attacked George Zimmerman. George Zimmerman had every right to defend himself and to shoot Trayvon Martin in self-defense. This was pure self-defense. George Zimmerman is not guilty. He committed no crime. He did what any sane citizen who wants to survive would do when being attacked by a violent, evil piece of garbage who threatened everybody all over the internet and has a long history. George Zimmerman did what any sane person would do to defend himself, to survive. And it's an outrage that he's being charged with murder. It's an outrage that he was arrested at all. Hopefully he will get off. Will there be riots if he gets... I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what will happen, but I do know that it will be a very bad day for this country and for the justice system if George Zimmerman is found guilty of anything at all. Thank you, Joe Gutfeld. And now we go to our good friend waiting for the mother plane to come, who writes, and I quote, Shalom, why were filthy rich Jews like Lautenberg and the Schneiers, Yimach Shmam V'Zichram, the most pro-Soviet, pro-communist of anyone? How hypocritical, unquote. I agree 100%. And it's not just, by the way, it's not just filthy rich Jews. It's filthy rich people in general are very often socialists. There are all types of reasons for that. There are all types of reasons. Some of them are self-interest reasons. Under socialism, there is no competition. Behind the scenes, the billionaires can control everything. There's no competition under socialism. Socialism dumbs down society. The bureaucracy destroys competition. The worst thing for very wealthy people is a free enterprise system, because then they get competitors who take on their big corporations. And that's the one thing they don't want is competition. But in addition to that, among self-hating Jews, the desire to be left-wing, the desire to support socialism in the left, stems from this very sick situation that existed in Europe. And European anti-Semites are responsible for this. European anti-Semites created a situation where the so-called right was identified with anti-Semitism. The so-called right in Europe was anti-Semitic. They persecuted the Jews, whereas the so-called left pretended to be for equality for the Jews, and pretended that they would be willing to liberate the Jews from the ghettos and give them equality. That was what they claimed in Europe. Of course, it was all a lie and a hoax. And we saw when the left took over in the Soviet Union what they did to the Jews. So, of course, it was always a lie. But because of that claim, many Jews were fooled by that, and that's why many Jews to this day are leftists. That's the reason why so many American Jews are leftists. Most Israeli Jews are not. Most Israeli Jews do not consider, they hate the left. Do not at all regard themselves as leftists. But one of the reasons many American Jews are leftists is because of this long history in Europe where for centuries the left was identified with equality for the Jews and emancipation for the Jews, and the right was identified with the church and with anti-Semitism and with persecuting the Jews. That's the way it was presented to the Jewish people. Anyway, thank you, Waiting for the Mother Plane. And now we go to the great Da Vinci, who writes, and I quote, you mentioned many times that Jews are supposed to live only in Israel. Are Jews, according to Judaism, allowed to make holidays outside of Israel, unquote? Well, I'm not sure exactly what you mean by holiday, making holidays. You mean, do we celebrate Jewish holidays like Rosh Hashanah, which is the Jewish New Year, Yom Kippur, which is the Jewish Day of Atonement, Pesach, which is the Jewish Passover? Do we celebrate those holidays outside of Israel? Yes, we do celebrate those holidays outside of Israel. And actually, some of those holidays are one-day holiday. In Israel, those holidays are usually one-day holidays, whereas outside of Israel, they're two-day holidays. and there are all types of complicated halachic reasons for that, because of time constraints, I don't want to go into all the reasons for that. But yes, Jews who live outside of Israel are required to celebrate those holidays. Even though, again, it is a sin to live outside of Israel. Every Jew must live in Israel. It is a commandment to live in Israel, especially now that we have a Jewish homeland and a Jewish state. We are required to live in the land of Israel. Thank you, Da Vinci. And now, and by the way, I know that what I say is not popular. I know it rubs a lot of people the wrong way. I know a lot of people don't want to hear that. Wow, you mean I'm doing something wrong because I'm not living in Israel? I know that this is not good for JTF when I say these things. I'm well aware of that. But you have to understand something. I'm 56 years old. I don't know how much time I'm going to be in this world. I'm not here to win popularity contests. I'm here to save my brothers and sisters because I love my fellow Jews. That's why I'm here. And I have to tell the truth. When they're in trouble, or if they're doing something wrong, or if I could do something to improve the situation of the Jewish people, that is why I'm here, and that is why JTF is here. That's our obligation. What a better world it would be if every Jewish organization looked at things that way. When there's a contradiction between the interests of JTF and the interests of the Jewish people, the interests of the Jewish people always come first above the interests of JTF. And that's the way every Jewish organization should view things. And of course, I'm also concerned about the righteous Gentiles. The righteous Gentiles are also people whom we are required to speak to and help and work with, and that's something JTF is proud to do as well. And now let's go to the Great Pyramid Head fan who writes, and I quote, "Dear Chaim, what is your opinion on Ben Stein?" Unquote. Oh, Ben Stein is an example of a guy who got ahead in the establishment because he's a self-hating Jew, just like his father Herb Stein. His father Herb Stein was a self-hating Jew who worked in the Nixon administration, and he got Ben Stein intermarried naturally. He married outside the Jewish faith. In 2008, just to give you an example of how self-hating Ben Stein is, in 2008, in the presidential election, Ben Stein supported the Arab Nazi Ralph Nader for president. An Arab Nazi who wants to destroy Israel, Ralph Nader, a vicious Jew hater. Ben Stein announced that he's voting for Ralph Nader and supporting Ralph Nader for president. In 2008, he also supported the self-hating left-wing Jew Al Franken for the U.S. Senate in Minnesota. So, I mean, this is a person with no concern for Israel and just whose behavior is just atrocious in every way. And that's why he gets ahead in the establishment. Thank you, Pyramid Head fan. And now we go to the Great Chicago Jew who writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim, why in the world did a Schwarza win as 2013 Miss Israel?" Unquote. Chicago Jew, she's a Jew. She's an Ethiopian Jew. I do not refer to our fellow Jews from Ethiopia as Schwarzes. Even though the word Schwarze in Yiddish just means black. But our fellow Jews from all races are our brothers and sisters. Now, it is true that you hear me denouncing most blacks in the United States on a regular basis because they're anti-Semites. They're racist, they're anti-Semites, they're evil. And I'm going to denounce evil people. But I do not speak like that about our fellow Jews. Jews from Ethiopia that are our fellow Jews. We have to love them as our brothers and sisters. She is an Ethiopian Jewess. Now, whether or not she's your taste, your particular taste, or whether or not she really was the most beautiful girl there, or whether or not she was picked because of political correctness, which I think maybe did play a role. Whatever the reason is, nevertheless, she's a Jewish girl from Ethiopia. She served in the Israeli army. She was actually an officer in the Israeli army. So I have no reason to hate her just because of the color of her skin. Now, having said that, I'm against these Miss Israel contests. I'm against Miss America, Miss Israel, Miss Universe. I'm against all of these contests. We're supposed to judge women and men based upon not their physical beauty, but the beauty of their soul and their heart. And what type of human beings they are. What are their values? That's how we are supposed to judge them. That's how God judges them. And that's how we should judge people. And so to put women up and say, is this one prettier than that one? And based on that, we pick this one. And I mean, that is not Jewish thinking. And that is not, it's not a good situation. And it is very insulting and very offensive to women, in my opinion. I'm against all of these contests. We should respect and honor Jewish women in Israel. We should honor them when they do righteous things, when they're heroic and righteous, and they show their love for their fellow Jews and help serve the Jewish people. We should honor men and women for that. That's what we should honor people for, not physical beauty. And by the way, Israeli Jews are very attractive. And we're taught that Israeli Jews were very attractive in ancient times, and now we're coming back to Israel, we're going to be an attractive people again. Because we lost that in the Galut. We lost that when we left Israel. Jews were known to be stunningly attractive people in ancient times. We're taught that that's coming back, that that's going to come back as we return to the land of Israel. But that is not what is really important in life. Anyway, thank you, Chicago Jew. Great question. And now we go to Our friend Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, Lautenberg was buried in Arlington National Cemetery. Is this against halakha? Do they have Jewish-only sections there? Unquote. Okay, let's start with that. It is against halakha. They do not have Jewish-only sections there. There is common burial for everyone in Arlington National Cemetery. Jews are not allowed to be buried in a cemetery with his burial with everybody. Jews must be buried with their fellow Jews because the Jewish people have certain beliefs and the Jewish burial has to be done in a certain way. And so you can't have that when you have mixed burials. It is contrary to halakha. It's not allowed, and there is no Jewish only section in Arlington National Cemetery. Binyamin Yisrael now writes, if Israel had, and I quote, if Israel struck back at Iraq, what would have been the outcome of the U.S. and Arab allies, quote unquote, in their war against Iraq, unquote. I don't know if it would have changed the actual end results of the war for the United States and the Western world, because I think you would have had basically the same situation where Saddam Hussein was not deposed in that war. Binyamin Yisrael is referring to the 1991 Persian Gulf War, George Bush Sr. In the 1991 Persian Gulf War, Saddam Hussein remained in power, but he was severely weakened. And I think that probably, you probably would have had a similar result if Israel had struck back. I think the result probably would have been about the same. But for Israel, it would have been much better. Because Israel would have kept her reputation as a nation that strikes back when you dare to fire missiles into Israel. Israel would have kept her reputation, and that would have been good for deterrence, and it would have been good for Jewish self-respect and Jewish national pride. It would have been very important for Israel. It was a terrible disgrace when Israel absorbed 37 Scud missiles in that war, and Yitzhak Shamir, the pathetic prime minister at the time, just sat there and decided not to respond. It was a disgrace. Terrible. Terrible. And I think it showed Israeli weakness and it invited pressure on Israel and invited all types of attacks on Israel in the future. Thank you, Binyamin Yisrael. And now we go to the great Tselhar, who, of course, is also very active on our Hebrew forum. Tselhar writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, who's Jay Sokolow and what is the ACLJ? Have you ever met him? Unquote. I've never met Jay Sokolow, but he is a very bad self-hating Jew. He's a Jew for Jesus. He's part of the cult known as Jews for Jesus. Of course, he's intermarried. You know, he married outside the Jewish faith, naturally. And he's deeply involved with the cult Jews for Jesus. His brother, in fact, Scott Sokolow, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, Shem Reshaim Yirkav, is a so-called rabbi for Jews for Jesus in Atlanta. He calls himself a rabbi, quote unquote, and he believes in the Jews for Jesus cult. That's his brother, and he also Jay Sokolow himself is also very much involved with them. So he is an enemy of his people. He's an enemy of the Jewish people, and righteous Gentiles should also be against somebody who's involved with a cult that engages in deceptive missionary activity, and is a group that causes very serious problems. And there's no way that there's no way that he can be described as anything else other than an enemy of his own people. Thank you, Tselhar. And now we go to our friend Papercut, who writes, and I quote, Chaim, which book by Rabbi Kahana do you recommend the most for reading, unquote? Oh, well, that depends upon... You mean the very first book that you'd want to read the most? That depends upon who is doing the reading. If you're looking for a book, a good book for American Jews who think everything is good in the American Jewish community and they don't have to do anything and they're part of some Jewish organization and they're happy with the way things are with American Jews, if you're looking for something like that to really throw cold water on that and really wake people up, Rabbi Kahana's book, Uncomfortable Questions for Comfortable Jews, that's the name of the book, Uncomfortable Questions for Comfortable Jews, is a perfect book for American Jews who feel comfortable. with what's going on, because what's going on is disastrous. But for those who feel comfortable, Uncomfortable Questions for Comfortable Jews is perfect. If you're looking for a book about Israel, Our Challenge is a great book about Israel that the rabbi wrote. If you're looking for a book about removing the Arabs from Israel, if you want to argue the point and you want statistics and quotes and arguments, They Must Go, that's the name of the book, They Must Go, is a book that the rabbi wrote about why the Arabs should be removed from Israel. And if you're looking for a book about the Jewish obligation to make Aliyah, are Jews required to live in Israel? Should Jews be living in Israel? Should all Jews move to Israel? The book Time to Go Home is Rabbi Kahana's book about Aliyah. Time to Go Home. And by the way, even though you have pseudo-Kahanists now who don't want to speak about the issue because they're afraid they're going to offend American Jews who don't want to move to Israel, we're real Kahanists. So we're going to say what Rabbi Kahana said, and we're going to say what the Torah says, even if it's unpopular. There are many other great books that the rabbi wrote, but I think that's a pretty good start. I gave you five. There's another one, Why Be Jewish. Why Be Jewish is a good book if you want to read about Judaism and the Jewish people and why it's important for Jews to identify as Jews. Why Be Jewish is a great one. So let's see. I think that's five I gave, right? Why Be Jewish, Uncomfortable Questions for Comfortable Jews, Our Challenge, They Must Go, Time to Go Home. Yeah, five. Those are five books. It depends where you want to start, from what subject you want to start. And there are many others, but I think that's a good start. Thank you, Paper Cut. Great question. Excuse me. And now we go to our good friend Imaknik, who writes, and I quote, "What is your opinion on Uncle Moshe? Do you know where he stands on politics?" Unquote. Uncle Moshe is a singer for children. He sings. He does children's videos, and he sings, and he's sort of like a comedian. His videos are sort of comical. He does he does music videos, and it's comical. He's a Hasidic Jew. My opinion is that nothing wrong with what he's doing. He's trying to get people to observe mitzvot, to observe the commandments. I don't think there's anything wrong with what he's doing, as far as I know. What he seems to be doing seems to be pretty positive. I don't know where he stands on politics. I have no idea. Thank you, Imaknik. And now we go to our friend Obama is Trash, who writes, and I quote, "Ilich Ramirez Sanchez, Venezuelan terrorist named after Lenin who became Muslim pro-Palestinian freedom fighter, quote-unquote, Carlos the Jackal, while studying in Moscow," unquote. Yes, and he was, he's a mass murderer. He's been in French prison now for quite a few years. I don't remember what year he was arrested, but he's been in French prison for many years now. He has, I think, several life sentences in French prison. I know he was convicted of at least 14 murders, because he killed two French law enforcement people. He killed someone who was working with French law enforcement, at least three people there. And then he killed another 11. I think he was convicted of another 11 murders. At least 14 murders he's been convicted of. So hopefully the French will not ever release him, and he'll die in prison. Hopefully he should die in prison as soon as possible, God willing, because the prison that he's in prison is a paradise compared to where he's going in the next world. Thank you, Obama is Trash. And now we go to the great Eli Yitzchaki, who is also from our Hebrew forum. Eli Yitzchaki writes, and I quote, "What do you think about the recently deceased Rabbi Yehoshua Neuwirth?" Unquote. Rabbi Yehoshua Neuwirth was a Talmid Chacham. He was a Torah scholar. And he was also an expert, especially... He was an expert, especially in the area of halacha in regard to euthanasia, brain death, what physicians and medical workers can do on Shabbat and on holidays. He was an expert in all of, on those subjects. So many other rabbis would turn to him and turn to what he taught when they wanted to know what is the Jewish position on those issues. So, you know, his passing away is certainly a loss for the Jewish people, and he certainly was a Talmid Chacham. Thank you, Eli Yitzchaki. And now we go to the great Dr. Dan, the voice of reason, common sense, and logic, who writes, and I quote, "Your thoughts on Steve Gutterman and the NSA leak," unquote. Dr. Dan, I apologize, but I don't know who Steve Gutterman is. I have no idea who Steve Gutterman is. I don't know who that is. The NSA leak, I think, really shows that, you know, we just did a video on this that we just released last night. Dr. Dan usually foresees what we're going to be doing videos on, because Dr. Dan has this incredible ability to discern what subjects are coming up. Dr. Dan can figure all of this stuff out. And so, you know, when you wrote this, you didn't know, but it so happens that we just did a video last night. We just released a video last night on the NSA leak. As all of us know, all of us JTFers know, our great Shlomo has been warning us for years that we're all being monitored. Everything we do is being monitored on Facebook, on Google, Microsoft, Verizon monitors, you know, they monitor all of our phone calls. These big corporations, Twitter, all of them, these big corporations hand over our information, all of our personal information, to the federal government. Now, what the federal government does or doesn't do with it, I wouldn't trust. Would you trust the Obama administration, the federal government? Who knows what they do with this information? And these big corporations all promise in writing to protect our privacy. So every one of them are liars. And so that's why we always, here in JTF, we always urge people to act cautiously and intelligently and sensibly on the internet, not to give out too much personal information, not to be fools. Of course, that doesn't mean that we can't be active on the internet. What can we do? The internet is a part of life now. You have to live in the stone. You have to live in a cave in the Stone Age now. If you're not on the internet, everybody's on the internet now, except for people in their 70s and 80s. Everybody else is on the internet. And of course, people in third world countries. Most people in Africa are not on the internet. But I'm talking about in modern, civilized Western countries. Everybody's on the internet. If you have a job or you're in school or you want to know something about the news or you want to see the world, I mean, to go without the internet nowadays, is like living in a cave. So we have to be on the internet. We have no choice. And we have to use these big sites like Facebook and Google and YouTube. We have no choice. Sometimes we have to use them. And we do use them frequently. But let's follow the advice of an expert like Shlomo, who is interested in our well-being. We should always follow his advice and be careful in what we do. We should be careful in how we do things, not give out personal information, have secure passwords. There's certain things he has advised us to do over the years, and he's warned us that we are being monitored and that, therefore, we got to be cautious. And, you know, I think Shlomo, once again, has been proven 100% correct. Thank you, Dr. Dan. And now we go to Hoosier Kahanis, who writes, and I quote, "Chaim, please tell us your critique of Curtis Sliwa." Okay. Curtis Sliwa is a Jew hater who has done numerous anti-Semitic programs on the radio, where he accuses pro-Israel Jews of dual loyalty. He did it with me twice. I was on his program. I was on his program more than twice, but at least twice when I was on his program, he spent most of the program basically accusing me of dual loyalty. What does dual loyalty mean? Dual loyalty is the anti-Semitic libel that Jews who support Israel are somehow disloyal to America. He asks over and over again, like Curtis Sliwa will ask over and over again, you loyal to Israel or to America? Who are you really loyal to? This is what he does with Jewish guests. And he did it with me repeatedly when I was on his program twice. He was very hostile. The dual loyalty charge, even self-hating Jews like the ADL, and even they say that the dual loyalty charge is anti-Semitic. Of course it's anti-Semitic. They don't make that demand of any other group. The Jews are singled out and told if we support Israel that it's anti-American, that we're not loyal to America. That's absurd. First of all, if you're not loyal to Israel, you're not loyal to America. Because God said, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. The survival of America and every nation in the world is dependent upon the survival of Israel. Anyone who is against Israel is against America's existence, in effect. That's the worst thing you could do for America. But Curtis Sliwa, who doesn't believe in anything, who's just a crude anti-Semite, continues with this Pat Buchanan charge of dual loyalty. That's number one. Number two, and this is the real bad stuff now, and anybody on our forum who continues to say that he's a friend of Israel or the Jewish people, which is completely fake, anyone who doesn't recognize how fake it is after I discuss, and I'm amazed that people didn't bring this up, anyone after I bring this next subject up who doesn't recognize what a phony fake Jew hater he is has got to be crazy. For 8 years, from 2000 to 2008, Sliwa co-hosted a radio program on WABC, which is the biggest talk radio station in the country, with his Nazi Jew-hating friend Ron Kuby, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro Shem Reshaim Yirkav. Ron Kuby and William Kunstler represented El Said Noser, the Al-Qaeda terrorist who murdered Rabbi Meir Kahana, Hashem Yikom Damo. Our rabbi was murdered by El Said Noser. And Kunstler and Kuby represented Noser in the trial, appealed to the mostly black jury to let him off, and he was let off in state court. He was found not guilty in state court on the murder charge. Later, he was convicted in federal court. After they bombed the World Trade Center, he was convicted in federal court. And he was also convicted of murdering Rabbi Kahana or violating his civil rights by murdering him. And he has a sentence of life without parole. That's thanks to JTF. We were formed in part to get justice against the murderers of Rabbi Kahana. That was the original reason why I formed the organization JTF when I got out of prison. But in any event, Kuby and Kunstler represented this Al-Qaeda terrorist who murdered our rabbi and got him off on the murder charge with the state. He would have gotten off, he would have walked. If Kunstler and Kuby, if not for the fact that they then went on to bomb the World Trade Center. And Kuby and Kunstler represented the World Trade Center bombers themselves. They represented Sheikh Rahman, they represented Mahmoud Abu Khalima, they represented Al-Qaeda. This was Curtis Sliwa's buddy and co-host on the radio, where they used to defend each other and make friendly remarks and visit with each other and go out together, have dinner together and be friends and buddies. This was his big buddy? Ron Kuby, who represents Al-Qaeda? Who represents the bombers of the World Trade Center? I mean, you cannot get any more evil than that. There is no Nazi-like evil worse than that. And that was Ron Kuby's big buddy for 8 years on the radio, defending him. You should see how respectful Curtis Sliwa was toward Ron Kuby, kissing his nasty behind for 8 years. Every time Ron Kuby lied, Ron Kuby claimed to be Jewish. Ron Kuby was not Jewish. He said his father converted in Ohio. Baloney. His father never converted in Ohio, and his father was never Jewish, and no one in his family was ever Jewish. He wanted to pretend he's Jewish so that he could say, even I, a Jew, I'm anti-Israel. I think Israel has no right to exist, and I'm Jewish. So he pretended to be Jewish. people would call up and say he's not really Jewish, and Curtis Sliwa would cut them off and get rid of them, and would defend QB and continually refer to him as Jewish. Also because Curtis Sliwa wanted Jews to have a bad reputation. Ron QB causes anti-Semitism, and Curtis Sliwa wanted Jews to have a bad reputation. And then Ron QB lied and said he was a member of the Jewish Defense League. He was a member. He joined JDL. Complete lie. He never joined JDL. I was the national chairman of the JDL, and I was involved in JDL since the early 1970s, and he was never in JDL. Complete lie. Just made it up. He said this so that he could say, you see, I was in the JDL. I was a right-wing Jew, and even I saw how racist Israel is and how Israel how the Arabs are right that Israel should be destroyed. That's the line that he uses. That's the game that he plays. I saw the light. Now I realize Israel's racist and has no right to exist. And Curtis Sliwa used to back him up on those lies that he was in the JDL, that he was Jewish. And anyone who would contradict those lies, Curtis Sliwa would cut them off, and Curtis Sliwa would immediately defend his buddy Ron QB. Now, Curtis Sliwa would pretend, because this was the game that they played, he pretended, I'm the so-called conservative side, and we would debate, they have their little friendly debates and spats on the air, where Curtis Sliwa would pretend he's a conservative. He's a conservative. A conservative would sit together on a program and be buddies with Al-Qaeda? With someone who enthusiastically defended in court, Al-Qaeda terrorist mass murderers, the bombers of the World Trade Center, and they put that beast on the air and give him a job co-hosting for several hours during primetime morning drive, a program on America's most listened to talk radio show, and Curtis Sliwa promoted the show all over the place and promoted Ron QB, and Ron QB promoted Curtis Sliwa. They promoted each other all over the place. Scum. Scum. Curtis Lee was the scum of the earth. Now, while Curtis Lee defended and greatly respected Ron QB, his buddy, and worked with him for 8 years at the station, during the same time he would trash Kahanists and trash JTF and trash me and trash Jews who were pro-Israel, he accused them of dual loyalty. But then when he goes to Jewish events, he pretends that he's pro-Israel and that he supports Israel. He's so full of baloney. He's a whore. He's not loyal to anything except his own pocketbook. He's a whore. He fabricated everything his whole career is fabrications. He made up stories that transit police officers kidnapped him. He made up stories about crimes that never took place. He admitted all of this. He eventually had to admit it. He had to come clean and admit that he just lied. He makes things up to advance himself. The guardian angels. What a farce. Now, his newest thing is he wants to be the husband of the next borough president of Queens. God forbid that this beast who he's shacking up with should become the next borough president of Queens. God forbid. So he had 3 children with Melinda Katz out of wedlock, and now he's living with her. 2, they're unmarried. He's living with her with Melinda Katz. Melinda Katz was in the city council, and she was a member of the state assembly. And now she's running in the Democrat primary for Queensborough president. By the way, Melinda Katz, despite her name, is not Jewish. Her father was a self-hating Jew, but her mother was not Jewish. And since if you don't have a Jewish mother, you're not Jewish, she is not Jewish. But she presents herself as Jewish all over the place. Presents herself as if she's speaking for the Jewish community. And meanwhile, she supports, of course, every left-wing Jew-hating animal under the sun. Jimmy Carter, Bill and Hillary Clinton she supported, Barack Hussein Obama, David Dinkins, every Jew-hater, every enemy of the Jewish people she supports. Al Sharpton, she backs all of them. And Curtis Sliwa, who claimed to be a conservative, is so enthusiastic and is supporting her candidacy now. She's running for borough president of Queens in the September Democrat primary. on September 10th. I think it's September 10th, early September, Democrat primary. I'm not sure about the, I think it's September 10th. I'm not sure about the date. There are several candidates running. The one that, if any of you are Democrats living in Queens, you should vote for City Councilman Peter Vallone. City Councilman Peter Vallone in the Democrat primary for borough president of Queens. Why? Because we want to defeat Melinda Katz. Because she is a nightmare. And because her and the guy she's living with, the Curtis Sliwa, will be a nightmare. They will do, I mean, these publicity hounds will do terrible things and will be a real problem if they win, God forbid. So we should support City Councilman Peter Vallone, who has a lot of support and who's running a well-funded campaign. He has a chance. He has a chance of winning. So let's, so if anybody's listening and you happen to be a Democrat, you can vote in the Democrat primary in September for Queensborough president for City Councilman Peter Vallone. That's what we recommend. You know, Sliwa's claim that he's pro-Israel. What a scam. What a Jew-hating scam. He's pro-Israel? I mean, first of all, his whole life is such a scam. His first wife was a black woman. His second wife was is a leftist feminist. His third wife, I don't know what she is. And now he's living with Melinda Katz, who's the ultimate fraud. I mean, just scum. Scum. Pure scum. And it shows how pathetic things are in the Jewish community, that there are Jews who grab anybody who says they're pro-Israel, just grab, anxiously grab this person without even caring, without even looking into the obvious past of this evil Jew hater. We should do everything we can to see to it that they don't succeed in what they're trying to do. Okay, anyway, let's move on now to the great JTF Enthusiast 2, who writes, and I quote, Dear Chaim, could you please explain what you think would be the least awful scenario in the upcoming New York City mayoral race? Thanks, JTF E, which is JTF Enthusiast. Okay, you phrased it very well when you said the least awful scenario, because all the scenarios are awful. I don't think it's realistic. I don't think he's going to win. But the candidate that I think would be the least terrible would be Joe LaHota. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. It's L-H-O-T-A. Joe LaHota. LaHota or LaHota. I don't know how to pronounce it. Joe LaHota. He's running in the Republican primary. He's supported by Mayor Giuliani, and he worked with Mayor Giuliani. He's running as a leftist. Everyone running is leftist. Because in New York City voted 81% for Obama in last year's election. 81% for Obama. So you know that the conservative is not going to get elected in New York City. But anyway, Joe LaHota would probably be the least disastrous of the possibilities. He would probably run the city a little bit, would return us basically to the days of Giuliani. Do I think he's going to win? No. I don't think he's going to win. I think that the city has changed since the days when Giuliani got elected. I think the city is very different now demographically, politically, and otherwise. And I don't think he has much of a chance. But he would be the least bad candidate. Now, in the Democrat primary, where the next mayor is probably going to be chosen, because more than 80% of New Yorkers are Democrats, if you happen to be a registered Democrat in the Democrat primary, all the candidates are very bad. But I would recommend, to show you how bad it is, I would actually recommend that you vote for the black candidate, Bill Thompson, who is horrible, but he's better than the two main white candidates, Christine Quinn, who is an admitted lesbian, and she says she's married to her partner. She's a lesbian who's married to another woman. Can you imagine what a disgrace that would be if she becomes the mayor of the nation's biggest city? Horrible. And the other major candidate running there is Anthony Weiner, Anthony the Weenie. Anthony the Weiner is married to a Muslim. We did a video on this. He's married to a Muslim who, of course, is involved with the Muslim Brotherhood, with the terrorist Nazi Muslim Brotherhood. Anthony the Wiener thinks that's wonderful. So you can imagine him being the mayor of New York City, of the nation's biggest city, having a Jew married to a Muslim who's involved with the Muslim Brotherhood. What a nightmare. So to defeat Quinn and Wiener, just to defeat them, if you happen to be a Democrat in New York City, I would urge you in the September primary to vote for Bill Thompson. He's also terrible. But I'd urge you to vote for him just to defeat Quinn and Wiener. And then in November, to vote for Joe LaHora, who hopefully will win the Republican primary. So in November, you could vote for Joe LaHora. All right. Pretty dismal, but if we're looking for the lesser of the evils, that's probably, in my opinion, that's probably how it stacks up. Thank you, JTF enthusiast. And now we go to the great EB22, who writes, and I quote, "What is your opinion on Shahid Khan, the Pakistani-born, self-made billionaire owner of the NFL Jacksonville Jaguars and Flexingate Auto Parts?" Unquote. I don't know anything about Shahid Khan other than the fact that he's obviously made a lot of money in America, but he's a Muslim, and I don't trust Muslims. And his name is Shahid. Ibi Shahid in Arabic means martyr, and it refers specifically in the Quran, Shahidim are the suicide bombers in Islam. So his name in effect is suicide bomber. He has a terrorist name, Shahid Khan, because this is what the Muslims do. So I don't trust people like this. I don't know anything about him. Is it possible that that he's not like that, that he's given up Islam? Well, maybe there's a very remote possibility, but I would never trust somebody from that background. That's my opinion. Anyway, thank you, EB22. And now we go to our great friend Tag Mechir Tzedek, who writes, and I quote, "Comments on the Haredi rally in New York City," unquote. Well, most of the people at that Haredi rally were Satmar, which means they're against the very existence of a Jewish state, so obviously I don't agree with that. Now, in their rally against being drafted into the army, that's a different story there. I actually think that Israel should transition to an all-volunteer army. I think Israel's main defense now, a lot of Israel's defense now is dependent upon technology, is dependent upon her nuclear weapons, dependent upon her air force. I don't think we need this vast army and this huge draft anymore in Israel. I really don't think Israel needs it anymore. So I think a volunteer army, an all-volunteer army, is something that should be very seriously considered in Israel. And now, it's something that every other Western country has. It's true, Israel's surrounded and more threatened than other Western countries. That's true. But I question whether having such a huge standing army is really in Israel's best interests. I don't see that huge standing army being the reason why, really protecting Israel. I think the main thing that army has been doing lately has been attacking their fellow Jews, has been throwing Jews out of their homes and expelling Jews like they did in Gush Katif and like they do in all the outposts. I don't think Israel needs a huge standing army. I think that having a slimmed down army, Israel needs a strong army. There's a very strong military, no question about it, but I think it's possible to have that with a volunteer army. I think it's something that should be seriously considered. And now Tag Mechir Tzedek writes, and I quote, "Comments on the Bedouins in the South," unquote. Well, the Bedouin Arab Muslim Nazis, Yimach Shmam B'Zichram, are taking over the Negev. They're taking over the South. And the current evil government of Netanyahu, Lieberman, Lapid, and Bennett are giving them thousands of new homes they want to build for them. They have a new plan to build thousands of new homes for them. And basically to give them control, official legal control over huge, huge tracts of land in the Negev, in southern Israel. They're basically giving them control over a huge portion of southern Israel. Very, very dangerous move. Very dangerous move, and they're supposed to vote on it actually this week. God forbid that it should pass. Terrible, terrible move. And it's being pushed by, you know, the Jewish Home Party, which is Habayit HaYehudi in Hebrew, which claims to be a religious nationalist, a bunch of phonies. Yeah, you know, it's being burned, the Likud and all the other phony right parties. Just terrible. Absolutely terrible. And in fact, we did a video on it, which I haven't released yet, but we're going to be releasing a video on that subject very soon. We've done other videos on it in the past. We're going to be doing more videos exposing this issue. Tag Mechir now writes, and I quote, "Do you think Israel could or will get destroyed with all of its problems?" Unquote. Absolutely not. There is no chance that Israel can be destroyed. The return of the Jews now is the final return of the Jews to their homeland. Can many Jews be murdered? God forbid. Yes, that is possible. God forbid. But it is possible. Israel could even face a Holocaust, God forbid, because you have 5.5 million Jews. If a million or 2 million, God forbid, chas v'chalila, are killed in a nuclear attack or some other attack, that's a Holocaust. But the Jewish people will not lose the entire state of Israel. Jewish sovereignty will not be taken away from us again. We have returned, we have Jewish sovereignty, we have Jewish independence, we have a Jewish homeland, and that is something that will survive until the coming of the Mashiach and until the final redemption. We have returned forever to our homeland. That doesn't mean we can't have terrible suffering and consequences, and that's why JTF is doing what we're doing to prevent that, but the complete destruction of Israel and putting us back into exile, God forbid, that will never happen again. Thank you, Tag Mechir Tzedek. And by the way, it's something the prophets have said, and it is not going to happen again. And now we go to the great secular believer who writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim, is it legal to organize millions of people to log into the IRS or any government agency website and overload it and make it crash?" Unquote. It depends. If the objective is to have millions of people go there specifically because you want to make it crash, you're specifically sending them there to try to crash the website, I guess it arguably could be. I think it probably is illegal. I think it probably is. If a lot of people legitimately want to go to the website just to browse and you have huge numbers of people going there and it causes the website to crash, then that's a different story. But if someone's going with an organized effort with the intent of crashing the website, that probably is illegal. And I don't think people should be playing with the IRS. I don't think that's a wise thing to do. Thank you, secular believer. I mean, we fight the IRS, but we fight them legally, and we fight them in terms of the public arena to do things that would hamper their website. I think that's very, very risky, behavior, and I wouldn't advise anybody to do that. Thank you, secular believer. And now we go to Russian Leo 777, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim, what is your opinion of Senator Al Franken?" Unquote. Al Franken, I actually mentioned him before briefly in reference to Ben Stein. Al Franken is a far-left, self-hating Jew. He's a senator from Minnesota. He supports Obama. He supports the extreme left. He supports all enemies of his own people. He supports a so-called Palestine state, Israeli national suicide. His policies in America are all left-wing, socialist, destructive policies. He is the worst of the worst. So my opinion of him is as low an opinion as you can possibly have of anyone. Thank you, Russian Leo. And now we go to our great friend Maimonides, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim, when traveling, how hard is it to eat healthy, kosher food at restaurants?" Unquote. It's very, very hard. In fact, here in Queens, I don't know of any kosher restaurants that have healthy food. They don't. At least the ones that I see, what is healthy food? Healthy food is salad, fruit salad, vegetable salad, with no sugar added and no additives, just natural fruits and vegetables. Also no dressing. You could put lemon juice on it. You could put vinegar. You could put certain things on salad, but should have none of the things that in most salad dressings are not healthy. Most of them are bad. So just delicious, fresh fruits and vegetables are healthy. Fish is healthy. Chicken without the skin is healthy. So there are some things you can get in restaurants that are healthy. But generally speaking, the food in restaurants, whether it's kosher or non-kosher, is not good for you. Generally speaking, not. So it's a challenge. Is it impossible to find healthy food? No, if you really look, it's possible. But you got to be aware of what's good and what isn't. Thank you very much, Maimonides. And now we go to our great friend from Israel, Gam Bashan, the Gam Gilad, who of course is also active and is actually a global moderator on our Hebrew forum. Gam Bashan writes, and I quote, "Hello, dear Chaim. Today, Barbara Streisand landed in Israel. First thing she does is go to Shimon Persky's presidential birthday party. Isn't it adorable?" Unquote. Yeah, well, she's such an atrocious animal. She of course has raised millions of dollars for Bill Clinton, for Barack Hussein Obama, for all the enemies of Israel. She also, of course, intermarried. She also, her son is married to another man. Her son is a homosexual who married another man. And so, of course, she's going to the birthday party of Shimon Persky, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, who is responsible for the murder of over 1,800 Jews because of the Oslo agreements. Absolutely. It is adorable. I agree with you. Hopefully, Shimon Persky, unfortunately, has lived till 90 years old. He's lived 90 years. I hope he won't live much longer. And I hope Barbara Streisand doesn't either. Thank you very much, Gam Bashan. And now we go to Mohammed is Satan's favorite slut in hell, who writes, and I quote, "Comments on Fred Phelps and his church holding signs that say God hates the world and thank God for dead U.S. soldiers outside soldiers' funerals," unquote. Well, this is an unbelievably sick, evil person who really should be a Muslim. I don't know, I think he really should join the Islamic faith, because he uses religion to support his pathological hatred for almost everybody and everything. He just hates everybody and everything. And he's a sick person. His family is sick. Everyone in his church are sick, pathological, vicious Nazi haters. Yimach shmam v'zichram to them. And if God does hate somebody, it's him and the people in his so-called church. That's who God really hates. Thank you, Mohammed is Satan's favorite slut in hell. And I want to thank everybody for another program that I very much enjoyed doing. Until next week, shalom.